I look at this picture, this is the Son of God. But you want to know something? Right there, he is a man. Right there, he's in that place of his last decision. It's that place of no return if he goes beyond that moment. Amen? He's in a place where he's saying, God, can you remove this cup? If it's not your will, I'll drink it. Basically, that's what the bottom line is. But I'll tell you, in this hour, if you're a Christian, in this hour, that's the position he wants us to be. He's the Son of God, Son of Man. And guess what? So am I. So are you. That's where our position should be. There should be no question, if you're walking with the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you are not walking in that sonship of God. Amen? Amen? Where is that place? Where is that place? If I'm talking about sonship, where is it? Let me get my notes and I'll tell you. Amen? Where is that sonship? The bottom line is that sonship is your maturity. I talked last night about, we have fallen so far out of that grace and mercy and compassion, which is called love. We've fallen so far. And he says, if you're not walking in love, if you're not walking in forgiveness, you've fallen so short. Amen? But if you're walking in his love and you're walking in his mercy, you're walking in his maturity, that's what makes you the Son of God. Amen? It's not that place that in the Old Testament where the boys turned 13 and they had their bar mitzvah, and it was like a manhood was being ordained upon them. And the father and the priest would say, "And this is my son in whom I'm well pleased." See, the first time that was said was not at the river when Jesus got baptized and came out of the water. And God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." It was taught to them to pray that over their sons and their daughters when they turned 12. Did you know that? But see, that wasn't the first place. That was acknowledging, this is my son. This is my son. But then there's another place you come into where you come into the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus, and you become a son. And then there's that place of sonship. And you know what? I did suffix or something like that about the word ship. Have you ever did that? All the words that have ship on the end of it? I said, what's the deal? What is this ship about? Well, that word ship gives authority. It gives a level of credence. It gives a position. It stands out. It's put into place. Like, sonship makes you more important. Worship makes it more important. Amen? Stewardship makes it more important. Friendship makes it more important. Amen? And I was just getting a kick out of that. It was just like, I want to understand this ship. Worship. Amen? Worship. Worship. And this year is about a battle cry. We've been called into a battle cry. We're Christian seals. You know, I had a friend bring this picture to me and say, I just wanted to show this to you. It's one of the ladies that's in the worship team. This is back when she was a young little chicky poo. And you have to come up and look at her. She's just cute as a bug's ear in that uniform. Amen? That's our little buddy, Hope. Amen? I thought, man, You guys, if you got a picture of you when you were a young lady or a young buck, I'll tell you what, and it's framed like this, bring it for tomorrow night. Let's put it on the stage. We want to honor you. Amen? We want to honor you. So anyway, she's part of the sonship. Amen? She's part of the sonship for America. She went and fought for our country. Amen? Amen. But she also is part of the sonship in Jesus Christ, because you know what? You know what entitles you to be in the sonship? Your servant's heart. It's that place where you realize you're a servant. It doesn't matter what comes back to you. It's all about giving, because you've learned the principle of giving. You cannot outgive God. Amen? 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 Praise God. Anyway, I love that picture. Isn't she just darling? She's cute today, but I'll tell you what a catch. What? Oh, yeah, point to hope. I live with her half the time. I have to travel with her. It's like, huh? Point to hope. Where is hope? There. Point to hope. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. This has been an extremely awesome day. How many of you would agree? Who in this place would like to give me a powerful testimony of what's happened just since you came last night? Anybody want to stand up and give a pop-up testimony? This is a good time to do it. Come on. What?
Awesome.
Awesome.
Jesus.
Amen.
And the impartation. You give Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the minister.
Amen.
Jesus is the connection. He makes all the difference in the world. And I so honor the God in y'all, which y'all have also gained through the vessels.
Amen. Did you hear that point of hope? Praise God. Somebody else, you got a testimony? Pop up and give it. Thank you.
So I really listened last night, and I went home and prayed in the Spirit for like the whole hour.
Wow.
And I fell asleep doing it, but I made it the whole hour. So I remember right
before I fell asleep, I looked at the time, and I
was like, wow,
that
went by really quick. And so,
yeah,
it was just a really wonderful time with
them.
So, thank you.
God bless you. How about one more? One more? Praise God. Praise God. Isn't this awesome? Awesome? Is anybody just busting to jump up and say something? Come on. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. God is an awesome God. That's why we just had to sing that song. It was just burning in me. I desired it so much, but I hadn't checked with the girls to find out in the team if, you know, because I'm always throwing songs at them, you know. I think I listen to the Lord, okay? That's all I can say. And my heart was burdened, and I just wished that we could sing that song. It was just so appropriate because of what God is doing in this hour. And then she hears the trumpet. And it was like, do it. Tell her. God filled in the gaps. They knew the song. They put the music up, and the team marched, and it was a marching. Amen? And it was a fulfillment of somebody that had a dream about me. A dream about me. And I believe it's coming to fruition. It had to do with that song. Amen? Now, when I wanted to have it played, I wasn't even thinking about that. God just dropped that in my spirit. Remember the dream? The woman came beside your bed in the hospital, and she shared that dream with you? It's happening right now. It's happening right now. Amen? Praise God. Well, let me, after a great deal of study, let me put it in a nutshell what sonship means. First of all, look at what the Jewish meaning of it is. When one comes to maturity of who they are in Christ and believe, then you get the power. He had the power. He had the power. I'm telling you, he had the power to face the trial. There in that garden, that's where he stepped into that final decision for his sonship. I mean, he had a choice when he got baptized in the water. He had a choice about what to do when he was 12 years old in the temple, when he was teaching and talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers. And his parents came back and said, "Where have you been?" "I've been about my father's business." But his sonship was that he turned to them and he honored them and went home with them. I mean, after being in that experience, I'm sure they were pulling on this young man with so much wisdom to stay, and he didn't have an attitude. "I got in the temple with the good old boys. You know, you guys treat me with respect." He didn't do that. He went home and behaved himself. It says that in the Bible, and he did. Praise God. When they came to collect him in the garden, he already was in the power of sonship. And when that ear was sliced on that soldier by Peter, he just reached it up and put it back on. He didn't want any distraction. He didn't want anything added on to the offenses that he was going to be hauled before the courts. He didn't want any offense except for what the sonship was going to walk in. That he was the Son of the living God. Amen? He didn't come to be king. But he came to free up a kingdom. And I'm one of them. Amen? I'm one of them. Remember when Jesus and he took his a few disciples up on the mountain and they had the transfiguration experience? Jesus knew what was going on. But Peter wanted to build altars. He got rebuked. He got rebuked. He wanted to build altars for, was it Elijah and what was the other one? Pardon? Moses, that's right. Moses, you're right. God has been speaking to me in the number 44 for 2 weeks. I woke up, I said this morning, to 444. Do you know that 44 means sonship? Today I was talking about sonship, and that number is 44. It's coming out of the number 43 where there's a lot of contention, a lot of battering and going on in that number 43, but 44 is coming into maturity and sonship. Amen? And again, it's about believing in Christ, walking in the maturity of obedience. That's what it is. Just looking over some of my notes. I've already said this, but I need to make sure I don't leave anything out. I want to go back to that word ship, because the Lord just tickled me with that word, because he wanted me. You know, you get a question when you're studying something and you go, "Lord, why is ship in there all the time?" Worship. You know, what are those words? Friendship, Godship, guideship. Courtship, how about accountantship, apostleship, apprenticeship, battleship, championship, churchmanship, citizenship, collectorship, commissionership. I hope I don't slip and say something else. Flagship, Godship, guardianship. And I'd have an excuse, come on. Look at all these ships: headship, hairship, horsemanship, instructorship, judgeship. I'm saying all these because of what I'm going to tell you in a minute. Leadership, lectureship, longship, marksmanship, mastership. Some of the words I can't even say. I just know principalship, readership, receivership. Did you know that was there? seamanship, secretaryship. Did I say that right? Don't listen real fine-tuned, okay? Sonship, spokesmanship, and on. I had pages and pages. I went, okay, Lord, I have enough. But I wanted to see it, because what it comes down to is that word ship is broken down to create, to ordain, to appoint. Amen? It's indicating a state or condition. And when God recognizes, when we recognize our position and God recognizes where our position is, that's where you come into the true sonship. It's more than just being the sons of God. It's the sonship of God. And there's a story in the Bible, a couple of stories in the Bible, where there were kids. The oldest son was supposed to be the son that was the sonship. That was the way it was supposed to be, as the oldest child. But you want to know something? There were some sons that he went down the line and pulled them out. I mean, Abraham chose Isaac for the sonship. Why? Because that's who God chose. Amen? And many, many are chosen, but few are called. Because we've got to come to that place. Lord, if you can move the cup, that's great. But if you don't want to move that cup, then let it be your will. And we've got to come to that place and that revelation and that understanding that we cannot keep doing a tug of war about who's going to control our will, God or us. It's got to come to a place where that you believe that God is more powerful than whatever you have in mind. Amen? He says he wants to light the path that's set before us, right? He wants to light my path. Why does he want to do that? Why do I need a lighted path? Because he wants to lead me through the path that straightens the crooked roads. Because he wants to lead me to the path that where the mountains are going to be laid low and the valleys are going to be leveled and smooth. That's what some sonship is about. And you know, as a sonship, as a woman, and it's no different than a man, I'll tell you, when God sends me out and there's a mountain before me, either he removes it before I get there, I got to just keep walking, and boom, it's gone, or he shows me how to get around it. Amen? Not all the way around it. I'm not talking about the Israelites running around that mountain for 40 years. I'm talking about going around it. Why poke the bear? Amen? Amen. So it's when we come into maturity, we're Christians and we believe, and I'm saying believe, not believe in, I'm saying believe him, not believe in him. We can believe in everything, but to actually believe is an action word to walk it out. Amen? Just like it's an action word, raise a war cry, redemptive rest. When we rest in God, then we have all the power and the strength, everything that we need. But if we try to do it in our own strength and our own power, we're going to get defeated every time. But if I rest in the Lord, it's his business. He's going to take care of me, and he does always. Amen? He does always. We just got to get back up, and get back up. Amen? There's another place in the Bible that I wanted to discuss about the sonship, and it's just a really unique story, and it's about Obed-Edom. And any of you know who that was? You know that name? No? Yes, he's the one that babysat the Ark of the Covenant. And you just got to imagine, wrap your mind around this. David is excited. He's retrieved the ark. He's bringing the ark back. He's got 30,000 soldiers, instrumentalists. They're just celebrating. And Mr. Obed, he's in his house, and he hears all this noise going on. And he says, what's going on? And they are going, well, there's a celebration. Well, what kind of celebration? Well, I don't know, but one of the men's on a white horse. Oh yeah, let's go look. And they open the door, and here they're coming up the hill, and they're bringing the ark, and they're celebrating and dancing and carrying on. And all of a sudden, the oxen or whatever, he stumbles, and the ark starts to fall. And Hezekiah or whatever puts his hand up on the ark, and God, in his anger because of his rules, he's dead. You want to know who else got angry? David got furious. He got furious. And it was like he didn't care about the ark anymore. It can just stay where it is. I want you to think about your walk with the Lord and what you have in here. And when something goes bad and you get spanked, don't you want to just leave it there? It's like, all right, Lord, this is your stuff. I'm out of here. That's the truth. His soldiers going, just leave it here. And he goes, take it up to that man's house. So here's, what did you call him? Mr. O. I mean, and he's going, what's going on? And he says, I want to keep the ark here. I'm going to leave the ark here. Are you sure you want to leave the ark here? That I got simple means here. I can't take care of the ark. And he says, I'm leaving the ark here. Okay, leave the ark here. You're the king. You can do whatever you want. So the ark moves in. The ark is set up, and Mr. O is like making sure everybody's, oh my gosh, look what we have. Let's be careful. And I'll tell you what, because that ark was in that home, something phenomenal happened. Something awesome happened with that ark in there. 3 months later, I'm sure David's petting one of his favorite sheep. And one of his soldiers comes in and says, David, you know that guy you left the ark with? I'm hearing all kinds of reports. He is just being blessed and blessed and blessed. His children are being blessed. His farm is being blessed. His life is being blessed. He's doing great. Go over here. Tell me some more. And he does. He says, for 3 months, he's just been flourishing. I think that Jerusalem needs that. Blessings. Some blessings. Get the soldiers together. We're going to go to Mr. O's house and retrieve the ark. Because he did prepare a place for that ark to be returned. Amen? So, hey, Mr. O! He goes, oh, no. He was working in the garden. He drops it. He goes, yes. He goes, I came to get the ark. Don't you want to leave it here? No, I don't leave it here. His son pokes around the corner. No, don't take the ark. No, please don't let him take the ark. He says, no, it belongs to the king. We got to give it to the king. He's got to take it back. Okay. And you know, the story should go on that, yes, David brought the ark back, and he was celebrating. Everybody was celebrating. He was so excited. The glory of the Lord was just filling everybody that was surrounded around that ark, except his wife. She looked down. She wasn't excited about the presence of God coming back into the temple, and she judged David. She judged the whole thing. We're not going to go down that road, but I will tell you this. We do that. We bring the Lord into the house, and some of the family members don't want anything to do with it, make fun of it, hurt our feelings, and guess what? We take it into the bedroom, into the prayer closet, and shut the door. Pull it out, not as often as you did. You know, until the next conference, you're pumped up and you bring it out a little bit until somebody sees it and you push it back in again. Do you know what I'm talking about? So, but that's not who I really want to talk about. I want to talk about Mr. O. Can you imagine what it would be like to have the presence of God in your house and all of a sudden, he packed his little carry-on. And he followed him to Jerusalem. You want to know why? He was addicted. He became addicted to the presence of God. And he had to go, and he went there, because down the road, you know, somewhere he was connected with favor, probably through the Levites, and he became a gatekeeper because of that ark. God put favor on him, and he was put into place by the king as a gatekeeper. And not only that, he had many sons. God kept blessing him. God kept blessing him. Now, I go back to that word, addiction. He was addicted to God. That's not a bad thing. That's number one good thing. Amen? He was addicted. I mean, I don't know what it did to his family. I don't know if they moved there or whatever. I just know that he went to live in Jerusalem to be close to that ark, to be close to the presence of God. It's like being at this conference. Don't you sense the presence of God here? And you're going to go home. And guess what? If you walk in the sonship of maturity, you're taking that ark home with you. Amen. And it'll be up to you to keep polishing it, praying about it, going deeper in the Word, spending time with the Lord, exercising the presence of God through His Word, through singing, through the proper fellowship. That's how you keep in the presence of God. Amen? You have that ark now inside of you. He's called Jesus Christ. Amen? Is that a good word? His sonship is in us. And when we imitate Him, we are the sonship of God as well. Isn't that the truth? Amen? So, we can be addicted to our popcorn. I said popcorn because I am crazy about popcorn. Popcorn, Cokes, beers, drugs, girls, guys, puppy dogs, football games, movies. I don't know what you are addicted to that you just don't think you can, you know, not have. I mean, chocolate women. But God wants that addiction for Him in your life. Up here, number one. Amen? That's where that comes from. Now, if you want to do some research, you can look and I just want you to put this for your own reference. You go ahead and go back and look at 1 Chronicles 13, chapter 13. Go to 1 Chronicles 26, 5, because that's where you'll see where later down the road, Mr. O became the gatekeeper. Isn't that awesome? Enlisted with the Levites. But he came from where Goliath came from. I mean, he didn't have a good reputation because his background was not clean. And you think that your background is not clean and that you can never be a gatekeeper. You can never keep the presence of God around you because, well, I've got this in my life and I did this in my life and I did that in my life and I have these kind of addictions. God's never going to let me have a relationship like that. That's baloney. You're number one. He's just waiting for you to say yes. He wants to be in your presence. He loves you. He created you to love you. Amen? He created you because He said He needed you. And I love to share the scriptures. When I talked last night about God's rest, but I want to talk again about, what is it, Isaiah 66? Because we have to see, hang on a second, let me find it. I love this scripture because I remember as a baby Christian, it was like, God doesn't need you. You need Him. You seem to think He needs you. And you know, you got to twist your mind around the fact that He doesn't need you, or you don't need Him. He doesn't need you. You need Him. Okay, let me get it right. And so I'll tell you what. You know, remember last night I also said, and this morning I mentioned too, that when we started writing the book at the sixth chapter, God said, I wanted to know what He wanted to name that book, and He said, What do you tell people when I tell you to do something? I'll go, well, He said. He goes, that's right. And then He goes, He said, He said, He said. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said, not only that, He told both Sarah and I want the cover done in cobalt blue. I want a gold emblem of a tree. the tree of life. It's somewhere here. On one side that folds over on the back side. And it's saying, he said, he said, he said. And you can go through the Bible. He says a lot. Amen. And I've been trying to encourage you to get in fellowship with him, get in his presence. And I mean, he will say a lot to you. Amen. Just be still. And if you have a hard time being still, tie yourself down. Amen. But in Isaiah 66, this blesses me. The way that I found this, the way that God sent me to this, it was just a blessing to me, and I've taught on it. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. He's saying this. It's like Jesus written in red, but this is God saying, this is what the Lord said. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And I love it when he says it that way, because who puts heaviness on a footstool? We just rest our foot on a footstool. He doesn't stand on it, jump on it, etc. He just rests there. Where is the house that you will build for me? Who's he talking to? Today he's talking to you and to me. Who's going to build this house for me? You know, where is the temple of God? That's exactly it. Where's the temple you will build for me? Where will I find my resting place? Ho! Yeah, ho! What is that? Psalms 55. Ho! It says exactly what he says. Ho! Those that are thirsty, come to the water and drink. Ho! Ho. Yummy. I'm not being weird. Look in your Bible.
Amen.
I questioned it when somebody was doing that, and I didn't want to judge it. My daughter, who is just a little bit special, when they started doing that, freaked her out. We're going down the road, and she's, Mom, her dad's driving. That woman that was hoeing, I don't think that was God. And then they all start hoeing. I don't think that was God. And I said, well, before we judge it, let me study the Bible. Let me get in the Word. And I studied, but you know what? I wasn't really studying for that. I kind of forgot about it. Boom, there it was. I went running downstairs, and I said, Christy, it's right here. Ho! She goes, okay. Okay, that won't bother me anymore. Amen?
Glory.
Yes, glory. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hands made all these things? And so they came into being. It's like, I can do anything. I can wave my arm. I can change the wind. I can change your heart if I wanted to. He can do anything. But he can't make that resting place in your heart unless you're willing.
Whoa.
Amen? He's looking for it. He says, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I esteem. He who is humble, contrite in spirit. Humble and contrite. You know what? Jesus was humble and contrite in that picture. He's okay, Lord, whatever you want. Contrite. My heart is broken for these people. I'll do it. Amen? Humble and contrite and trembles at my word. And I love that. Trembles at my word. And my question to you is, when was the last time you trembled at his word? When was the last time the fear of God was in you? You know, the Lord says that we are the apple of his eye. I said, yes, we are the apple of your eye, Lord. You said that. He said, you know what my desire is? I said, what is your desire? He said that you would make me, they would make me the apple of their eye.
Amen.
I said, well, how do we do that? How can you tell me how we can do that? You know, I'm always, give me A, B, C, and D. Let's move. Right? And he goes, oh, he laughed. I don't know if you have a relationship like I do with the Lord, but when I ask some questions, all of a sudden he laughs and my belly jiggles. The glory of the Lord that lives within me, he just laughs. And he goes, Nancy, I can hear him. He goes, Nancy, get up and go look in the mirror. Okay, all right. So I go in and I'm looking in the mirror. Okay, what am I looking for? He says, look in your eye. I said, okay, I'm looking. I said, well, what am I looking for in my eye? He said, just look in your pupil deep. Do you see a spot? I did. I saw a spot. It was the shape of an apple. I'm not joking you here. It was a spot back there that it was a circle. It could have been an apple. It could have been anything. It could have been a figment of my imagination. But right there, God was using it. And he said, what do you see? And I said, I see a circle like an apple. And he says, well, there I am. There I am. So I just encourage you, look in the mirror. Somebody came to me the other day and said, will you look in my eye? I said, you have to look in your eye, yourself, to see your Lord. Amen?
That's right.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
But I know what happened to me. And you know what he said when I went, that is awesome. He was confirming me that that's where my place is with him and his place is with me. He was confirming me. And I'm looking at it, and he goes, you know that's the beginning of wisdom, what you see there. Because you love me so much, you walk in the fear of the Lord. Amen? That's how you become the apple of his eye and make him the apple of your eye. That's the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Amen? He's my daddy. Somebody was praying for me today, And she was calling him Papa. Papa. Some people would be religious. He's God. No, he's Papa. You know, I'll tell you, there's a difference with me when I'm in a group and we're worshiping and praising God. I mean, he's Abba Father. But I'll tell you, when I'm home on the couch and we're talking, he's Daddy. And I said, Lord, how do I do that? I just do it naturally. And he says, well, you have a friend that her father was the principal of a high school. And whenever she'd see him at school, he was Mr. King. At home, he was her daddy. Do you see what I'm saying? That was Miss Debbie Grimes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that broken, contrite heart, humble, that's what that is. Humility before the Lord. And I'll tell you, if you go to the Lord without your preconceived notions, preconceived answers, I mean, we do. We are already set up with the answer we want to get. But if we're willing to listen to the Lord, he gives you a better answer. Because he's out for your best interest. He's out for my best interest. Amen? Amen. So, I want to give you some more examples of your sonship, of your commitment. Some of you have committed to, yes, Lord, I'm signing up. I'm going back to basics. Because my tongue is tying a little bit on me, would you be willing to explain that real quick? Stand up and face him. The difference in this is,
whoa. I get the handheld.
Oh, the handheld's back here. I think that would have been too close.
Okay, so intrinsic and extrinsic.
Before she says this, I want you to figure out what is what we're talking about here. Go ahead.
Extrinsic is external, the exterior, outside, outward, coming from the outside of something, being outside of something and outward, or operating from the outside, operating or coming from without, convinced. It's external. Can I explain that in words?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, things that are extrinsic are things that are, you are, well, I don't want to give too much away, but...
No, go ahead. You're open.
Okay. When you're motivated, you're either motivated to do something because of extrinsic reasons or intrinsic reasons. Extrinsic reasons would be like when you are required to go to church, you're required to do this, you're required to do that because somebody else is telling you really don't have a that inner desire to do that. It's like somebody, it's just a rule, a law, that's just the way it is. You know, it's an extrinsic thing. The force is coming from the outside. Intrinsic is you have that inner desire to do something. You want to go to school. You want to go to church. You can't wait to go to church. You're motivated to do your homework, not because your teacher tells you to, but because you have a desire to learn and gain knowledge, and you want to, you just want to do something. You're motivated. You're interested. You are compelled.
Amen. So what that's about is that I said last night several times, I did not come here to convince you. I came here to convict you. I can work on the outside, and you can see what's going on with me and what's going on with the people around you and be influenced and convinced by what you see on the outside. But really, you can't really see what's going on inside of me except for perhaps what's coming out of my mouth. Amen? And it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit to speak it out. I don't want to convince you. I want to convict you. I want you to say, I want that sonship. How do I get there? And how do we get there? By yielding, submitting a broken, contrite heart, a humble heart that trembles before the word. You've got to love the word so much that when somebody uses that word the wrong way, you're going to tremble. You're going to be offended. You're going to be hurt. Amen? Amen? Okay. That's absolute truth. Hallelujah. So, boy, we're just coming along real good here, huh? Well, I'll tell you what the other thing that I wanted to share with you, so that tonight, we're going to, at the end here, we're going to pray an impartation on you. And before I give this to you, when God gave this to me, he said, Nancy, when you share this, I'll give you an anointing to release favor on those that heard the word and believe the word and want to receive that favor. And that favor comes in all kinds of packages. It comes with the favor of reading the word of God and understanding, connecting the dots. It's a favor of boldness and courage, and it's a favor when you go amongst unbelievers and they believe you. Not in you, but they believe you. Amen. That's really important for you to remember. Not believe in you, but believe you. Amen. So, praise the Lord. So as I go through this list, this was comprised by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you how it came about. I told you last night that I was very sick and to death this summer, and I was at my end because I was just didn't have a whole lot more. And I went to bed one night, and I just prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, I've always been a goal-oriented person. I've always looked for your true strategy. Even before I was a Christian, I was about strategy. And it just drives me nuts if I don't have some goals in front of me. It does. I mean, I just am very goal-oriented. And it's not like, you know, I have some friends that they have a list of things they got to do, and I have to sit beside them and counsel them because they're in distress because they didn't get all the list done. You know, well, I've got a list, but I know it's going to be there tomorrow.
Right.
It's not, you know, the one thing that I don't like, and you guys can all pray for me on this matter, is I hate to pack. And I travel a lot. You know, I travel a lot, and you have to think about where, I mean, they come along with me, and they can just throw anything in their suitcase. They're not the speaker. You know what I mean? They can throw jean jackets on and jeans and whatever, and they'll bop in the room, you know, and they'll go, is this okay? Yeah, it's okay. I wish I could do that. Praise God. Anyway, so I'm gonna tell you how it happened, then I'm going to give you the five things that God said to give you if you believe. Amen? Tools that will make a difference in your life. I've got people that have believed this, and I mean, they were putting it in and engaging in it before they even walked out the door at the meetings we were doing. And I mean, they were turning around and praying it over me as well. Amen? So There is one thing I wanted to do. Yes, it's in my little witch book. Just a second. There was just a little note I had. You know how God gives you little nuggets? Okay. Let me see if I put it in here. Yes, it's right here. Praise God. Okay, I went to bed that night. Like I said, I was very sick. I don't need to say any more. Just believe me, I was sick. I woke up after I'd gone to sleep, maybe an hour or two, and I heard the Lord say, "Nancy, come out of the shadows." And I was in my backyard, and I have these three trees in my backyard, and they remind me of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we'll have the window open. I mean, I'll watch the stars, and I'll watch the northern lights through those trees in the winter. I mean, I'll go to sleep praying those three trees, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I love trees. And that's where I was when he said, "Come out of the shadows." I was clinging to those trees. He said, "Come out of the shadow." I was clinging to him. That was my desperation when I went to sleep. I fell back to sleep saying, "God, I need a strategy." I went into vision again. When I woke up, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And when he spoke to me, he said, "Anyone that listens, say this to them. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer." Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 talks about how we're easily entangled. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, but we can be easily entangled. But he says, keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. You are in a race. Amen? That's where I had the vision about standing in the field, and I was standing on the wheat and the tares. Did I share that last night?
Yeah.
I was standing in the wheat and the tares, and they hurt my feet. That's where he showed that to me. Keep your eye on me. I am the lifter of your head. And that's Psalms 27:5. Let me be the lifter of your head. And he spoke that to me in a way that, how did he say that? For he has concealed me, and when trouble comes, he will hide me in his sanctuary, and he will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head above my enemies who surround me, and at his sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord. That's what he's asking us to do. Now, we can embrace our circumstances, and they can weigh us down like an anchor and take us deep into despair, or we are willing to lift our heads up and look at him and keep our eyes on him. When he said, "Keep your eyes on me," it was like I moved toward him so fast, so quickly. Amen? Then he told me again, move into the light, out of the cold existence of the shadows. Psalms 36:9, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we will see light. We will see light. That was when he said, "Nancy, I have called you to the nations. I have called you to the nations. I haven't changed my mind." God has not changed his mind. Amen? But he is the light, and when I'm on the light, it illuminates. That's where I talked about the testimony. It's a law of responsibility. When we have a testimony, take the bushel off and share your testimony. It's going to save somebody's life. Don't waste your testimony. You're going to just be blessed by how people will be encouraged by your testimony. Oh, yeah, preach and teach the word. But God says, share your testimony because I gave it to you. Amen? Don't let the enemy have it. Give it to God. Amen? Then he said this. When you share this, tell them, if they have ears to hear, that they will be able to wield, you know, like a sword, and be able to profess and declare it as I have and will through them. Amen? So he's given you authority. There's an authority in what this is about. And it's for everyone in this room, if you have ears to hear. Amen? Just know that this is how we should pray. You've got something going on in your life, this is how we would like to see us pray for protection. Other than the fact I told you, God said, pray for peace. Pray for peace in America, and pray that they will accept him. Very specific. Prayer and acceptance. Amen? Okay, so here's the first one. And this is how you pray for anybody. God said he'll honor it. He says, tell them, place a hedge. Place a hedge. Job 1:9. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all he has on every side? Have you blessed the works of his hands and his possessions? Have you increased his land? Wah, wah, wah. Satan was complaining. He's going, yeah, you think he's so hot to trot. Let me tell you what, if you take that hedge of protection off of him, let me have him and tweak him a little bit, and he won't love you so much. And you want to know something? God says, yes, he will. Yes, he will. He says, I'll take the hedge down, but don't you kill him. God is saying, pray for your loved ones. Pray that scripture, Job 1:9. Pray for a hedge of protection that God puts it around. God enlists his angels to put that hedge of protection around your family, around your situation, around that sickness, around those different purposes in your life that are being hindered. God says, pray a hedge of protection. Amen? A hedge. That hedge will cause you to be hidden in God. That's what took place when that hedge was put in place. Satan could not touch him. Amen? Nor his family, and his kids were pretty naughty. He protected them too because of that hedge. Amen? So, the next one is, so you've placed a hedge. That's what that is on that picture up there, the hedge around it. If you get up closer, you'll see it just like that. So he says, place that hedge. Then the second one is declare a bulwark. It's a rampart. It's a wall. The bulwark is to shield the fiery darts, the fiery arrows of temptation. That's what it is. Get that wall up for protection so that you aren't tempted to go over the wall and go A-W-O-L, or they're not able to come in. I've been to China. Several of us went to China. Did you get to go on that wall with us? Debbie, you went. We went up on the Great Wall. One of the icons that you can see out in outer space on the earth is the Great Wall of China. And God sent me to pray on the Great Wall of China. Well, they've got all their security on the Great Wall of China. It's like, how am I going to be able to do what God was requiring of me to do? And God told Henry a strategy. And he said, Nancy, God came to tell me, just be prepared, have what you're taking. God even prepared everything that I was to take up there, what I was supposed to do, what I was supposed to pour out. I mean, even to the point where we were on a train. We were on a train, I think, 28 hours going from Hong Kong up to Beijing, and the Lord said, this is what you're going to do. Here's I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures, and this is your template of scriptures, but those same scriptures are also you're going to take. And I know this is going to sound weird, but for me to be able to go and pour the word on that wall, he said, I want you to, he gave me all the scriptures. There were tons of scriptures that he wanted me to pray over China. Listen, it has changed. Beijing has changed. I know that God had favor on what he asked me to do. But he said, take those scriptures, put it on a piece of foil, and set a fire to it. And then I want you to take all of that, those ashes, and I want you to put it in a bottle with oil, consecrated, set apart oil. Anointing oil, and you're going to put a lid on that. And I go, I don't know what kind of bottle to put it in. I'll lead you to what bottle to put it in. And I went, okay. So I go and I'm at the store looking for a beautiful bottle to put this oil in that's going to be black, right? He had me make two copies of those scriptures, a hard copy and the copy he wanted me to burn and put the oil in. And I go to the store, and I'm going to shops. I'm trying to find a special bottle to honor God. And he says, I'm going to tell you right where to go. And he took me right over to the perfume-scented bath oils and lotions and whatever. And he says, that's the bottle. That was the only way I was going to get that bottle into mainland China. That was the only way I was going to get that word in properly up on that wall and pour it out. Because he wanted me to pour the word out, just like, you know, prophetically pour the word out. And so he said, I'm sending you up from south to north to Beijing from Hong Kong. I'm sending you straight up on the train. And he says, and then I'm going to let you pray from the east to the west, because those angels are going to shoot out when you go down that train track. There's going to be angels aligned down that train track all the way to Beijing. And I'm telling you what, I saw it. God took me into vision about halfway up to Beijing. All of a sudden, I'm standing out on the railroad tracks, just right here, and I'm looking. There's angels lined up as far as I can see that way, as far as I can see that way. On this side, they're as far as I can see that way. And I'm like trying to figure out what is going on. And all of a sudden, I heard one of the angels just almost like a shofar came out of his mouth, and he goes, they're coming! It was my train. It was my train. And you know what we were doing in that train for 28 hours? Praying all that hard copy scriptures the whole time. Teams were in there praying, and we switched over and praying and switching over. It was some of the GLOW leadership was with me, and we had that set up. We had one room that it was strictly prayer. The other car was where people could go in and sleep. They were taking their sleep. I never did sleep. I stayed up that whole 28 hours, and I prayed and interceded. And I mean, it was like incredible, because the scriptures he gave me, I didn't understand them. But I'll tell you what, those scriptures came to life about Rachel weeping for the children, about the woman up, what was the name of the woman that was... Rahab, he had scriptures in there about Rahab. I didn't understand that. And then when we were in vision working and praying and whatever, he said, this is what I'm going to change, Nancy. There's a lot of children in mainland China that don't have birth certificates, because they were born in a family. You can have more than one or two kids. You only can have one. And so they didn't have a birth certificate. They didn't have an identity in a country that they had no name. So what they did after we prayed this, guess what happened? The mainland China gave permission to all the men who supposedly were having affairs over in mainland China. They were allowed to go get their children and bring them into Hong Kong and give them a name. So all these righteous Christian men were going in and getting children and bringing them over on the other side, adopting them and giving them a name. Amen? That's what that was about. One thing after another, those things that we prayed came into fruition. Again, I was the first woman in the world to go into mainland China and do a woman's conference preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sarah went in with me, and I'll tell you what, they had no limitations. And I'm welcome to go back there anytime in any province with no backlash. Promise to me. Amen? It was powerful. But then we get up on the wall, the Great Wall, and I mean they're doing all kinds of stuff. But what you could see with this Great Wall, you know, for example, if I can get up here, they'd have big shelters where they would battle, where there would be guns and stuff. And in those big shelters, they would be as wide as this, and maybe about halfway across. And people would get up there. There's no bathrooms, where people would just poop and pee and do whatever. It was awful. People were going through, hundreds and hundreds of people. And I'm like, well, Lord, how am I going to do this? I look out this side of the window, the place I know I'm supposed to do it, and they're digging up the graves. They're digging up the graves. I'll tell you what, everything was prophetic. I mean, it was like a time and a place. That was where the oil was going on one side, and it was going on. So God took care of the angels when that train went by. They just began to, when the fire on those train tracks, when the train went, there was just a fire that came off the train tracks, and those angels were grabbing that fire because it was the fire of the Word of God on that train. For 28 hours, I'm telling you, it was fire. And they were taking that fire. I was watching them. And as soon as it went by, they grabbed it, and they just peeled out to the east and the west. And I was going north to the south, south to the north. Isn't that powerful? Wow, is what you should be saying. I mean, the people that were with me were blown away. If they hadn't been there, it would be a hard thing for them to testify what they saw. It's true, isn't it, Debbie? So we get up there, and I'm telling you, it was really hard because at that time, Debbie's had surgery on both of her knees, and at that time, she hadn't. And those steps sometimes were that big that you had to step up on. And I mean, it was slow going, and I didn't want to leave her out of it. They've got guards. They've got things going on, people going back and forth. And this is what the Lord told my husband. He said, you tell Nancy that I am going to give a break. Nobody's going to be able to come down. Nobody's going to be able to go up. It's going to be her time. You tell her to be quick about it, and I will be a distraction. I was up there in that building, and it happened. It was like nobody was coming, nobody was going. The team I had, I mean, I went with a team, but they invited two radio announcers and a TV announcer out of Hong Kong. I was livid. I was absolutely livid that they didn't talk to me about it. It scared me because I knew that if they went back to Hong Kong and reported anything, I wasn't going to get to go back to Israel ever again. China, I mean. I would never get to go back there again. And so I talked to them privately, and they promised me, each one of them promised me, there was a man and two women. None of them knew each other. One of them was there during the Beijing massacre, you know. She was right there in a hotel where the tanks were running right over the people. I mean, she was right there. I mean, it was still in her head. It was fresh in her house. She shared, you know, a lot with me, and they told me that they would not write anything or speak about what we did up there if I would let them go, and they went with me. And then that God gave them words, and those words had to do with, some of them had words about me going to Tibet, and those words did come to pass. Mm-hmm. And that young man that came and one of the other ladies, they ended up getting married. I'm still in contact with them. They have three children now. They're very happily married. It's an amazing, amazing story. Amen? But I'll tell you what, when God stopped the people and I started pouring out, you knew God had a plan. Amen? Just like he did in Tibet. Just like he's done in Nicaragua. That's what he's done across America. He is doing something. We don't like what we're seeing, but he's changing dirty diapers, and it's pretty stinky. Amen? God loves America. Don't give up. Don't give up on God. He has not given up on us. Amen? Amen? Okay, so the next one is you've built a wall, and you've built that wall from fiery darts. You're not going to let the fiery darts discourage you. You're going to listen to the call of God. He says, go. You say, no, I can't go. I don't have the money. Back up and repent. Back up and repent. I've told the story about my husband. He was supposed to go to Egypt with me, and he knew he had to go to Egypt with me. God told him he had to go to Egypt with me, and every time I said, I've got to go to Egypt, he goes, I know, but I'm not going to give you an answer until I have the money. I said, it doesn't work that way, Henry. You know it doesn't work. He says, no, it doesn't work that way for you. I know that, but for me, I got to have the money in the bank. That's how he is, and I go, Henry, I just want you to, I'm trying to teach the girls this. You just have to trust the Lord. I mean, that's it. He makes the crooked way straight. Amen? And I finally got, I was coming down to Ohio to do a conference, and I said, look, if you're not going to go with me, I said, tell me now, and I will enlist some people in Ohio to go with me. He goes, I'll go with you. I just can't give you an answer now. I said, I need an answer now. He was going out the door, and he goes, okay, I'll go, but the money better be there. So, he's a good man. But what's funny about, and he talks about it in church, he says, I don't have the kind of faith that she has. I have faith. He has tremendous faith. He says, but she believes in the impossible impossible. Amen? So I go down to Ohio, I'm up in Ohio, and as soon as I get there, I get invited over to this place. This lady calls and said, come by here. My sister sent a gift for you. And I said, okay, she's moved up to Minnesota or somewhere like that. And so I go over, and it's a, what do you call it, a daycare. And I remember us getting together, and this girl had this vision about this daycare, but I didn't know it, and I began to speak over her, and I saw the daycare, and we prayed, and she said, I don't have the money. I said, just believe that God will provide. She had a daycare. Amen? She got a daycare. So I go over there and drop, you know, we drop off, and I run through the daycare, run to the bathroom. And when I came out of the bathroom, she's standing there, and I walk right through a piece of paper, and she said, it's a check from my sister. That was the gift.
Wow.
And I went, oh. So I just took it, folded it, and put it in my pocket. And she says, Nancy, pull that check out and look at it. I pulled it out and opened it, and oh my gosh, it was $10,000. $10,000 with a stipulation on it that I could not use it. It was not for Point of Hope business. It was for me to do what I wanted to do with it. And I went, oh, wow, man, we left there. We went somewhere to have lunch, and I went in the bathroom. Henry, guess what? He said, what? I said, I have $5,000 for you to go on that trip to Egypt. Somebody just gave it to me. He said, you're kidding. I heard him sniffling. He said, you're kidding. I said, actually, I was given $10,000, but I have a plan for it because all these people are good friends of mine, and I'm going to try to bless them, those that, you know, that have really, really poured out, you know, like Uda. And, you know, and whatever. Anyway, so I just divided the money out for them. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Anyway, it was like, what a blessing. So, you know, Henry, he's like, in church, I believe like she did, and look what happened. Train them up in the well, they'll go. Okay, let's go to the next one. That. Okay, the next one is, the first one is what? Hedge. The second one is declare. The third one, declare the bulwark. I didn't even finish reading, I'm sorry. The bulwark is Psalms 91:4. He will cover you with his pinion, is under his wings. You may seek refuge in his faithfulness. He is a shield and a bulwark. Amen? That's, again, where he will shield us from the fiery darts. Amen? So the next one is, number three, is set a fire. Set a wall of fire, Zechariah 2:5. And this is the Lord saying, for I, declares the Lord, will build a wall of fire around her, and I will be in the glory of her midst. Amen? And what's that talking about? That's talking about the temple. They wanted to put a wall around the temple. And I can't remember if this is the Tent of Meetings or if this is actually in Jerusalem. But they want to put a wall around to protect the temple. And God says, no, I'm going to put a fire around the temple. And he did. There was a holy fire around the temple, in a manner of speaking. And it was hard to get in there. Any evil was hard to get in there. Now, the story I want to tell you here now at this point is that hedge, that bulwark, and that fire, you can pray them up. But I'll tell you what, if you invite the enemy in, the little foxes are coming too. And you have to rebuild that wall and set that fire and secure that hedge every day. Listen, if you got a prodigal child, I'll tell you what, this is the best one for your prodigal child. I'll tell you what, they're not going to stand a chance on this one. Pardon? Give it to you? The Lord says, so the first one is place a hedge, the second one is declare a bulwark, the third one is set a fire, wall of fire, Zechariah 2:5. The fourth one is ask for ministering angels, Matthew 4:11. He says, then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and began to minister to him. And for those of you that were with me before and heard me share this, this is where Jesus has been out in the wilderness for 40 days. This is where he's been out there, and he hasn't ate or drank, and here comes the devil to tempt. You know, in our dry places, he knows when we're down. He knows. And you know what he was? He doesn't lift you up and say, I know you're having a tough time. It's not fair to pick on you right now. No, he's going to sit on you. He's going to put his foot in your throat. He is going to twist and turn, and he's going to take advantage of it. He is a bully. He's number one bully, and he's going to take advantage of it. Don't expect any grace from the enemy. when you're down. You better be praying up. So when I said about angels ministering angels, this is when you pray for your loved one when they're asleep. Because there's a lot of warring that goes on in our dreams. And when they wake up, I'm telling you, they'll know that there is a battle going on. And you don't have to get in their face and try to change their life. What you do is you just say, Lord, assign angels to minister to that child or minister to that mother or that wife or that husband or that friend or that disease or that sickness. Lord, send ministering angels to encamp themselves around that one all night long. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. The next one is the last one, and this one's about accountability. And I'll tell you what, this made such a difference in my life. And that's, he said, tell them to take communion daily, leave nothing to chance. We leave so much to chance. We just assume. I mean, faith is assuming, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, when we forget God and we just go about our business and do naughties and just assume he's going to take care of us, that doesn't fly. He's going to pull back and let you get a smack so you'll remember him. Amen? This is what he says. While they were eating, they took some bread and after breaking it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take it. This is my body. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks to it, he gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink or eat the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. But there's another set of scriptures that we avoid. We don't like to speak them, but they are more directive of this call to come into communion. John 6:53-59 talks about, eat my flesh. And drink my blood. Because in the garden, he was about to spill his blood. He was about to lose his life. And when we walk in the Lord, we also embrace that suffering with him. Amen? When was the last time you were persecuted for Christ's sake? When was the last time you were persecuted for Christ's sake? When's the last time you stood up in a crowd and you made a stand for our King? When's the last time you shared a testimony about why you're a Christian today? When's the last time you allowed yourself to get in position? See where we've fallen? That's what that falling so far from. We've made judgments. We don't think that we have to do it. Listen, if you have a testimony, share it. Give it. If you have a faith, believe it. Get in that place of sonship. Start being convicted by his word. His word will not come back void. Stand on his promises. Create that hedge of protection. Create that bulwark, that wall to protect from the fiery darts. Why do we leave ourselves open and wide open and defenseless? Amen? He says, pray for that fire of God. That fire of God is powerful. That fire of God was in this room when we were marching around. Amen? That was a fire of God. That was the glory of God. Amen? And then he says, pray for the ministering angels. He said, I will enlist them. The angels are waiting. They got their ears this way to God because God's waiting to hear your prayer. I need fire, or I need a wall, or I need a hedge, or I need what? Angels to go and minister to my loved ones. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Do you have accusations come against you? Do those accusations cause darkness in your heart, worry in your heart? The enemy wants to burn it off. Amen? Amen? Okay, just 1 minute. Make sure I got everything. Let me look at my notes that I never look at. This is what he said when I said this earlier. I have made you a light unto the nations. Isaiah 49:6. He has made you a light unto the nations. Amen? And that nations can be in the grocery store. That nation can, sometimes, I mean, we had a meeting the other day, and the nations were covered in that room. Amen? He told me to make a measuring stick. This is for a Georgia. He said, make a measuring stick. And I said, okay. And I drew a little stick right there. And I said, what is that about? He says, it's going to represent what I'm going to be doing in Georgia for 2015. I'm going to raise the water table. Spiritually speaking, I'm going to raise it 4 foot or 4 feet, 4 inches, four, whatever, four. He said the number four. That's a door. And he says, when I do that, he said, it's going to be a spectacle. People that don't know the Lord are going to, it's going to be a leveling. You know, when you have something that shakes a place so bad, it's a leveling. And everybody has to come together whether you like each other or not. Amen? It's a leveling. Everybody's equal because we all got to work together to make it right, to get it better. Amen? So, he's saying, there was a word that came over me several years ago, and I believe it to be true, is when I was over in Israel, they have these gullies down by the Dead Sea, and it is desert, desert, dry, desert down there, okay? But what the word was over, it was a GLOW leader. She said, Nancy, God is showing me that God is going to be using you in this other ministry that you have to bring living water into areas that are very dry. And it'll be like the wadis are going to flood. And the wadis, am I saying it right, Sarah? The wadis? Those wadis, when the rains come, they just like gut it out, just gut that valley out, anything in it. There are going to be people running. People are going to be grabbed to be pulled out, to be saved. And that's the idea. God wants them all pulled out to be saved. Amen? So whenever God gives me a word like that, I'm public domain. What I mean is user-friendly, meaning that if God gave me that word, that's your word. That is your word. He's caused us to be part of the measuring stick that's going to change the water, the living water table in Georgia. Amen? There'll be a physical change. You're going to see a physical change, 2015. Amen? So I'm glad I checked here. Remember, you're going to be living streams in the desert. Amen? Hold on to that. So this is where I want to close. I want to pray over you corporately, and then I'm just going to ask you if you would just, I think that what I'm going to have you do is just line up. It's not going to be a time of prophecy. It's going to be a laying hands on you. It's an anointing God has given me. I will take your arms. You want to stand up for me? I'm just going to come up to you. I'm going to start praying. Maybe in tongues or whatever. It's going to be for a couple purposes. One, before I finish praying for holy boldness and courage, then I'm going to start praying for favor. And when I open your arms like this, breathe in the breath of God. Amen? He is going to breathe on you. Amen? Okay? So let me pray, and then come on up here and get your blessing. Don't go without your blessing. Amen? Hey, man, try it. You might like it. So come on up here. But Father, as they're moving up here, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you that every one of us in this room are in alignment as sonship, Father God. Thank you for the maturity I see in this room. I can't talk the level that I talk, Father God, if it weren't for the fact that we walk in such maturity. In the name of Jesus, Lord, don't let the word come back void. Don't hurt my sheep. Amen? Amen. Amen.